Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 7th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for earnings and inflation data after last week's volatility.
President Biden looks to repackage his economic message to the public.
Peloton shares soar on takeover speculation.
And Boris Johnson makes moves to keep his job as pressure on the prime minister builds.
The New York City Council will debate making outdoor dining permanent. Plus, National Security Advisor Sullivan says Russia could invade Ukraine any day. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. The Nets in Denver lost their eighth in a row. A disappointing day for the United States at the Olympics.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower to start the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 117, and NASDAQ futures down 32. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.92%, and the yield on the two-year 1.30%. The euro 1.1423 against the dollar. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the drop in futures comes after another volatile week. On Wall Street, the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 index rose 1.3%, while the Dow dropped 0.1%. We saw huge market swings tied to earnings. Esti Dweck is chief investment officer at FlowBank.
We've seen that earnings across a lot of these big tech companies had a very big impact, and we could see some huge diverging moves between a couple of names depending on how the earnings results were perceived and how the guidance was perceived. So, you know, maybe more of a stock picker's market coming in the couple of months. But generally speaking, I do still think that tech is going to hold up and do quite well in 2022.
FlowBank's Esti Dweck says Friday's jobs report solidified Fed hikes over the next few meetings, but the second half of the year is still unclear.
Well, overseas, Nathan, a rally in Chinese shares helped limit a drop in Asian stocks. Japan led declines in the region, and we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. China's CSI 300 gained as much as 2.6% in its first trading session since the Lunar New Year break before paring some of those gains. It was still the best post-Lunar New Year gain since 2019. Sentiment was boosted by that big jump we saw in Hong Kong on Friday and easing concerns about regulatory headwinds for the tech sector. However, tech players were sold off in Hong Kong Monday, led by Alibaba. This amid speculation SoftBank could be selling some of its shares. The Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.7% in Tokyo after posting its best week since October. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the White House is planning another push on its economic agenda. President Biden's top advisors are hatching a plan to repackage the message. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
You'll hear less about inflation and the stalled Build Back Better plan and more about wage growth, union jobs, and domestic manufacturing. Sources tell Bloomberg that President Biden's advisors are resetting the president's approach. Supply chain bottlenecks and partisan fighting over COVID vaccinations, masks, and testing will take a backseat to expanding the productive capacity of the economy. This just months before the November midterms, where Republican wins could doom any future White House initiatives. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. We also have news from the U.S. Treasury Secretary this morning. Janet Yellen says she has no plans to leave the job anytime soon. In an interview with Bloomberg, Yellen said there's still a huge amount of important work to do. The biggest win of her tenure so far was a global agreement on corporate taxes, but Congress has yet to endorse the plan.
Economic data are also in focus, Karen. On this week's agenda, the spotlight shifts to inflation. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The monthly employment report, remarkably strong, is behind us. Thursday, the government issues the January Consumer Price Index. The CPI has been soaring, climbing 7% on a year-over-year basis in December. That's the most in 39 years, and January's index could run hotter as pandemic-related supply shortages persist and businesses pass along rising labor costs. Also on this week's calendar, December consumer credit, which should settle back from a record November jump. Vinny Dal, Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, shares of Peloton up more than 22% in early trading. That's due to speculation of a takeover. But as Bloomberg's Doug Krisner reports, Peloton could face challenges if the company tries to sell itself to a big tech firm.
Peloton finds itself a potential takeover target. Last Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported Amazon is exploring a possible deal. Analysts say Apple could be a buyer. The FT reports Nike is also considering a bid, and Disney has been mentioned as well. But regulatory scrutiny could make a deal difficult. Tech firms are being probed for their reach and influence. Recently, the FTC sued to block the acquisition of Arm Limited by Nvidia. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Doug, thanks. Spotify is also in the spotlight this morning. The company's CEO is speaking out once again about podcaster Joe Rogan. Let's get the details on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Spotify CEO Daniel Ek tells staff that he's deeply sorry for the impact of the controversy over Joe Rogan, but he supports keeping Rogan's show on the platform. Rogan's been under fire for repeatedly using racial slurs and spreading COVID misinformation on his podcast. And while several episodes have been removed from Spotify, the company's CEO says he does not believe silencing Rogan is the answer. Instead, he says Spotify will spend $100 million to amplify marginalized voices. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. We turn to politics overseas now with the latest on UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He's hoping for a reset after key members of his team walked out last week. And we get the latest from London with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Following the resignation of five aides in 24 hours last week, the Prime Minister is moving quickly to rebuild his team, including a new chief of staff. One newspaper report, though, says that Boris Johnson's supporters are readying for a confidence vote as soon as this week. They're said to believe that between 35 and 45 lawmakers have submitted written requests for a vote. 54 is the number needed to make it happen, but those requests are submitted in secret. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ewan, thank you. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. IBKR Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 32 degrees in Central Park and dealing with lots of accidents this morning, including one on the Taconic southbound ramp toward Route 202. Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. French President Emmanuel Macron plans to visit Moscow and Kiev this week. Macron will talk about Russia's buildup of forces on the Ukraine border. U.S. officials now estimate that Vladimir Putin has prepared around 70% of the forces and weapons that would be needed for an invasion into Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Russia could invade Ukraine any day. Sullivan maintains they don't know when the Russians could begin such an invasion, but remain prepared for all outcomes.
I'm not going to make a prediction about what is going to unfold in the coming days. All I'm going to say is that we, the United States, under the direction of President Biden, are ready either way.
National Security Advisor Sullivan spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Earlier, Macron and President Joe Biden talked by phone on the crisis. Russia denies it plans to invade Ukraine. Outdoor dining may be here to stay in New York. Tomorrow, the City Council will begin debating a new bill to make the dining sheds permanent. Marjorie Velasquez is the sponsor of the bill. She told ABC 7, it's important we save our small businesses, our restaurants. What's worse to public safety is an empty storefront. Meanwhile, dozens protested in the village over the weekend. They say the outdoor sheds increase garbage, rats, and people sleeping in the sheds. The International Olympic Committee says it held a sit-down with Chinese tennis player Peng Shuai. The news follows an interview with a French newspaper in which Peng denied accusing a senior Chinese official of sexual assault. The reporter, Mark Vituyak, says Peng was noticeably cautious and nervous when answering about the so-called affair.
When we began to speak about the affair, personally, I saw on her eyes that she will be very, I don't know the good word, attentive.
Reporter Mark Vituyak says the paper had to ask pre-submitted questions in Chinese through a translator. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. On December 27th, the Nets were 23-9. They're in first place in the East. Since then, 6-15. They're 2-9 since Kevin Durant's knee injury. And in Denver, they lost their eighth in a row, 124-104. Too much. Nikola Jokic, 27 points and a triple-double. Kyrie Irving had 27 for Brooklyn. Durant won't be back for a few weeks. James Harden now out with a hamstring injury. He also reportedly doesn't want to re-sign this summer, which has led to trade rumors shot down by Nets coach Steve Nash.
I don't think anything's changed other than noise from the outside. James wants to be here. We're building with James, and we think we have the best chance to win with James. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed on the inside, in our locker room, in our communication. It's just all the noise from the outside.
After an 0-5 road trip, Nets back home tomorrow for the Celtics. Knicks play tonight at Utah. The ex-Net, Caris LeVert, traded by Indiana to Cleveland. Iona's winning streak over at 8. The Gales were 11-0 in the MAC, but lost at Niagara. Manhattan lost to Canisius. The Devils' best player, Jack Hughes, played in the NHL All-Star Game in Las Vegas on Saturday and then got put on the COVID protocol list on Sunday. Saints running back Alvin Kamara played in the Pro Bowl yesterday in Las Vegas and then last night got arrested for battery stemming from an incident at a nightclub. Kamara remains in jail this morning. At the Olympics, New Zealand's won a gold medal. United States still has not. Michaela Schifrin, defending champ of the giant slalom, fell on her first run. Red Gerard, defending champ of the snowboarding slopestyle, finished fourth. The U.S. did win a silver in the figure skating team event. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 112. NASDAQ futures are lower by 27 points. The 10-year Treasury now down 3/32. The yield, 1.92%. Just ahead, the latest from the nation's capital as President Biden gets set to welcome Germany's new chancellor and retools his economic agenda. We'll be speaking with University College London professor Julie Norman. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, freezing drizzle this morning, light rain this afternoon with a high near 40 degrees. Mostly sunny, mid-40s tomorrow, low 40s, mostly sunny by Wednesday. Currently 32 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower and stocks in Europe erasing their gains as investors took stock of the outlook for monetary policy ahead of key inflation data later this week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 10 points, Dow futures down 93, NASDAQ futures down 27, and the DAX in Germany little changed. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.91%, the yield on the 2-year 1.29%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on 99 cents at $91.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.20 at $18.13 an ounce. The euro 1.1425 against the dollar, British pound 1.3507, and the yen's at 114.95. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $42,700. And Take-Two Interactive and Tyson Foods are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A state of emergency has been declared in Ottawa, Canada, where hundreds of truck drivers continue to clog the streets of the capital city. It is in a protest that began in response to cross-border vaccine mandates. Chinese tennis star Ping Shua told a French media outlet that she never faced limitations on her movements after writing about an affair with a former top Communist Party official. Ping denied the affair. She made the comments after she met with the IOC. At the Olympics in Beijing, Sweden leads the gold medal count with 3. Russia leads the total medal count with 6. The U.S. has 3 silvers. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Celtics won. In the NFL Pro Bowl, the AFC beat the NFC 4135. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn to politics now as the crisis continues over Ukraine. President Biden is set to meet this afternoon with the new Chancellor of Germany, Olaf Scholz, even as he keeps an eye on his domestic agenda, thinking of retooling the economic message as Democrats head closer to a very tough midterm election cycle. Julie Norman is with us now, professor and lecturer on politics and international relations at University College London. Professor, it's always good to speak with you. Let's start off with what's happening with Ukraine. We know that the president spoke last night with the French leader Emmanuel Macron. He's welcoming Germany's new chancellor this afternoon. What is the challenge for this president to try to keep European allies together?
Yeah, well, good morning, Nathan. We're going to see another flurry of diplomacy this week, and really being spearheaded this time by Macron visiting Moscow today and then Kiev tomorrow to really try and push some kind of new ways of looking at things on that side. And of course, at the same time today, Biden will be meeting with Germany's new Chancellor Scholz and really trying to firm up Germany's commitments to potential sanctions and responses to whatever might end up happening. So a lot more diplomacy for Biden right now. It's really going to be continuing what he has been doing, a very muscular sort of diplomacy in recent weeks, coupling diplomacy with deterrence and also with rather public discussions of contingency measures around sanctions, trying to kind of be a supportive role with France's initiative this week, but also trying to shore up the support from Germany at the same time. Again, for Biden and for all of NATO allies, having the sense of a united front has been important. It's been assumed that Putin's been trying to exploit some of the differences between allies. And we see today, Biden, Macron, and then also Scholz really trying to firm that up and kind of have a sense of solidarity between them.
What's the level of solidarity between President Biden and lawmakers on Capitol Hill, many of whom are pushing for some kind of sanction against Russia now?
Yeah, so this is a discussion that I think certainly has merit. We hear some pushing for kind of peremptory sanctions and to try and get ahead of potential moves that Russia might make in terms of Ukraine. I think that the administration is wisely being cautious about this, and that's partly in trying to coordinate very closely with European allies, who the question of sanctions just has very different meaning and interests on this side of the Atlantic, in the sense that, Germany alone, but most of Europe relies on Russia very heavily for gas and oil. Energy prices are already very high this year. So the kinds of sanctions that are being discussed, which would have very quick repercussions, would be felt very quickly in Europe. So it's important for Biden to not be undercutting European allies on that, simply to move things forward on Capitol Hill. With that said, I sense kind of the urgency coming and the need to come out strong, but I think the administration is playing it right by now, right now with them. We're trying to work in coordination with allies. Otherwise, this just won't work in the long term.
Obviously, geopolitics are going to be a focus for the president in the coming days, perhaps weeks. At the same time, we know the president's going to be back out on the road this week selling his economic agenda. And we're hearing more rumblings from the White House that they're sort of repackaging the message, focusing less on COVID and inflation, more on jobs. What do you make of this sort of retool at the White House?
Well, Nathan, I think it's absolutely necessary. And anyone watching Biden, I think, would see this as a very necessary reset. They're coming out of a good jobs report last week. Obviously, they're going to want to emphasize that, the fact that jobs continue to grow, unemployment continues to go down, wages continue to rise. Obviously, for many U.S. citizens, this question of inflation is going to be the make or break issue on how they feel these effects of the economy. Even though numbers look good, if you're seeing prices go up in your daily bills, then that kind of outweighs that. So the challenge for Biden is going to be getting that under control, but we'll certainly see a pivot of his messaging more to these positive elements, and also less emphasis on Build Back Better as a larger package. If they can get some of those smaller policy things through, they'll obviously be talking that up. But he's going to be focusing more on what's working right for the economy and trying to pivot away from some of these recent failures.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this repackage of the messaging goes as we do get closer to what a lot of observers think is going to be a very tough midterm cycle for Democrats. Julie Norman, thank you, as always, for your insights. Julie Norman teaches politics and international relations at University College London. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures are lower by 7.5 points. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures are lower by 17 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32. The yield 1.92%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 1.29% on the heels of last Friday's big surprise on the January payrolls number. Just ahead, more on the volatility for markets getting closer to the end of earnings season, and Spotify continues to deal with Joe Rogan. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, freezing drizzle this morning, light rain this afternoon, a high near 40 degrees. Sunshine returns tomorrow. We'll be in the mid-40s tomorrow, low 40s Wednesday. Right now, 32 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions as 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, U.S. futures are lower to start the week. Wall Street bracing for inflation data and another big week of earnings. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
We've heard from about 280 S&P 500 companies so far, and about 76% have reported positive earnings surprises, even with high-profile misses from companies including Meta Platforms and Netflix. Among the U.S. companies scheduled to report this week are Amgen, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Pfizer, Twitter, Tyson Foods, Uber, and Walt Disney. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Right now, shares of Peloton are up more than 23%. The home fitness company has become a potential takeover target following a sharp plunge in its share price. Amazon and Nike have been reported as possible suitors.
Well, Spotify remains in the spotlight this morning, Nathan. The company's CEO is speaking out once again about podcaster Joe Rogan. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Spotify CEO Daniel Ek tells staff that he's deeply sorry for the impact of the controversy over Joe Rogan, but he supports keeping Rogan's show on the platform. Rogan has been under fire for repeatedly using racial slurs and spreading COVID misinformation on his podcast. While more than 100 episodes have been removed from Spotify, the company's CEO says he does not believe silencing Rogan is the answer. Instead, he says Spotify will spend $100 million to amplify marginalized voices. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Turning to U.S. politics, President Biden's top advisors are repackaging his economic message at a time when his approval ratings are sinking and his legislative agenda stalls in Congress. Going forward, the president plans to put more emphasis on growth in wages, union jobs, and domestic manufacturing, and give less weight to inflation and COVID.
And in politics overseas, Nathan, Boris Johnson is doing his best to hold on as Prime Minister of the UK. He's overhauling his team after a series of gaffes and scandals led to the resignation of five close aides. But it may already be too late. A no-confidence vote in the Prime Minister could come as soon as this week. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures this morning moving lower, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, 32 degrees in Central Park, and a number of accidents with freezing drizzle in places this morning. We'll get details from Peter Van shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Joe Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron talked by phone about responding to Russia's military buildup on the Ukrainian border. According to the White House, Macron is due to visit Moscow and Kiev this week. Meanwhile, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Russia could invade Ukraine any day.
If they choose to go down the path of escalation instead, it will come at enormous human cost to Ukrainians, but it will also, we believe, over time, come at real strategic cost to Vladimir Putin.
National Security Advisor Sullivan spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. U.S. officials confirm that Russia has assembled at least 70% of the military firepower it likely intends to have in place by mid-month to give President Vladimir Putin the option of a full-scale invasion. Outdoor dining may be here to stay in New York. Tomorrow, the city council will begin debating a new bill to make the dining sheds permanent. Marjorie Velasquez is the sponsor of the bill. She told ABC 7 it's important we save our small businesses, our restaurants. What's worse to public safety is an empty storefront. Meanwhile, dozens protested in the village over the weekend. They say the outdoor sheds increase garbage, rats, and people sleeping in the sheds. An investigation is underway into the death of a Navy SEAL candidate after days of intense training. New Jersey native Kyle Mullen fell ill Friday and was taken to the hospital just hours after completing the grueling SEAL training program known as Hell Week. Retired Navy SEAL Admiral Robert Harward says it's a very tough course.
You're not sleeping for the whole week. You get about, I think, 4 or 5 hours of sleep the entire week. You're in the ocean incessantly, so you experience hypothermia.
Retired Admiral Robert Harward. Kyle Mullen was 24. The number of unruly airline passengers increased during the pandemic, and now there is a call for federal intervention. The CEO of Delta Airlines is calling for a no-fly list specifically to ban these type of disruptive travelers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, 3 days into the Olympics, United States has not yet won a gold medal. Did win a third silver, came in the figure skating team event. The Russian Olympic Committee team, as expected, won the gold, led by their 15-year-old phenom, Kamila Valieva. But disappointment for Michaela Schifrin, unable to defend her title in the giant slalom. She fell on her first run.
Just one turn, I had a small mistiming of when I really went to push on my edges, and that makes all the difference.
Sweden's Sarah Hector won the gold medal. Schifrin will have two more chances for a medal. Canadian Max Parrott won gold in the snowboarding men's slopestyle. American Red Girard, who won gold in this 4 years ago at age 17, this time finished fourth. He had the lead after his first run. And American Brittany Bowe won silver in the speed skating 1500 meters 4 years ago. Today she was 10th. The gold won by the Dutch legend, Irene Wüst, at age 35, her fifth gold medal in this event. Nets had a five-game road trip, lost all five, came home with an eight-game losing streak, blown out at Denver, 124-104, Nikola Jokic, 27 points and a triple-double, Kyrie Irving led Brooklyn with 27. AFC won the Pro Bowl, then last night in Las Vegas, Saints running back Alvin Kamara, after playing in the game, got arrested for battery. He remains in jail this morning. The Miami Dolphins named 38-year-old Mike McDaniel their new head coach. He had been the 49ers offensive coordinator. Tom Hoagie won the AT&T Golf at Pebble Beach, rallied past Jordan Spieth to win by two, his first PGA win at the age of 32. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta has just run in with some breaking deal news in the air. Kriti?
Breaking deal news. Merger Monday is still alive, Nate.
Yeah.
We'll start off with airlines here. Frontier Airlines looking to buy Spirit at, it looks like, $25.83 per share in an all-stock and cash merger deal valued at $6.6 billion. That is moving the stock for Spirit Airlines. SAVE is your ticker, up 9% in the pre-market. American Airlines as well, AAL is your ticker there, up 2.6%. So once again, some strong deal news, and I stand corrected, in just the last 30 seconds, it's risen up to 3%. So those shares are climbing. Keep an eye on them throughout the day. Another major mover this morning is going to be Peloton. PTON is your ticker, jumping 24% in the pre-market. This coming off reports that's exploring takeover options, a move that could test investors holding short positions in the fitness company. Nathan, I can't tell you how many times over the weekend I heard that Apple is going to buy Peloton. We'll see if
so
that
many
actually
names
happens.
There's so many bandied potential. About. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? This kind of feeds into the idea that big tech has a lot of big cash. They're looking to make acquisitions. Dare I remind you, Microsoft just recently decided to buy Activision. So this would be a deal that potentially makes sense. Once again, we do have our eyes out for any takeover options there. We do also have earnings amid all the deal news. We do have Hasbro coming out. HAS is your ticker, up 1.3% in the pre-market. A double whammy for this stock. This is, of course, the toy maker. They raised their quarterly dividend by 2.9% to 70 cents a share. But I think it's the net revenue here that really takes the cake up to, well, excuse me, coming in $2 billion. The estimate there was $1.8 billion. So another pretty big beat for that toy maker. And I'm going to preview another earnings story here. And that, of course, is Tyson. TSN is your ticker, up 1.4% ahead of those numbers. Of course, we know rising prices for beef, pork, and poltry have been in the news. Let's see if Tyson benefits Nathan.
All right, before we let you go, Creedy, what are the latest analyst moves?
We got to talk about Snowflake here. It's been a while since we've talked about Snowflake as the software company. Of course, SNOW is your ticker, gaining 4.4% in the pre-market. This comes after Morgan Stanley upgraded it to an overweight, citing the pullback in the stock, saying the software solutions provider is executing way ahead of plan. So some good news, a little bit of backing there from Morgan Stanley.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta staying super busy between the deal news, the earnings, everything else going on. Lots to watch in the pre-market. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole, ahead of the open of this new trading week, modest declines for futures. S&P futures right now down almost 5 points. Dow futures down 58. NASDAQ futures nearly erasing their losses. They're down only about 7 points at this point. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32. The yield 1.92% on the 10-year note. And right now the yield on the 2-year is at 1.30%. Look at the market more broadly. NYMEX crude down 0.8% or 72 cents at $91.59 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, $5.60 higher at $18.13.40 an ounce. Bitcoin, $42,700. Latest from the nation's capital next as President Biden gets set to welcome Germany's new chancellor to the White House, BGovs. Emily Wilkins with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, freezing drizzle this morning, light rain this afternoon with a high near 40. We'll get up to near 45 tomorrow, low 40s, mostly sunny by Wednesday. Currently cloudy, 32 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow. Futures lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Losses in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures down 77 points. S&P's drop 8. Well, the NASDAQ futures are lower by 17. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.92%. Gold is higher. Oil trading lower. And Bitcoin is up by 2.5%. Shanghai rose 2% overnight after reopening, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. And regarding earnings, Zimmer Biomet missed estimates, while Hasbro beat estimates. In deal news, Peloton is up 25% pre-market after reports that it's exploring takeover options and Frontier and Spirit Airlines to combine. Wrapping things up, Exelon cut to equal at Barclays. Snowflake raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley, while Cigna was cut to second perform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. French President Emmanuel Macron meets Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow today about the military buildup on Ukraine's borders. Russia has repeatedly denied having plans to attack. UN experts say North Korea is continuing to steal hundreds of millions of dollars from financial institutions and cryptocurrency firms and exchanges. The illicit money has become an important source of revenue for the government and its nuclear and missile programs. At the Olympics in Beijing, Sweden leads the gold medal count with 3. Russia leads the total medal count with 6. The U.S. has 3 silvers. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Celtics won. In the NFL Pro Bowl, the AFC beat the NFC 41-35. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Supply woes risk a profitless prosperity. I'm Brooke Sutherland, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Supply chains are getting better in some places. Dover, for example, can now buy raw materials such as steel for less than what it paid to build existing inventory. Rockwell Automation is having an easier time procuring resins. Fastenal expressed optimism that COVID absenteeism had peaked, and GM said semiconductor access had improved enough to support as much as a 30% increase in production this year. But broad-based stabilization remains elusive. For every positive anecdote about supply chains, there's a counterweight. Most industrial companies' annual guidance calls for a marked improvement in the operating environment in the back half of 2022. There's reason to think that will materialize, and demand is still holding strong. But with prognostications for supply chain normalization already having been repeatedly pushed back, it's fair to wonder whether manufacturers are being too optimistic. The risk is that companies face a period of profitless prosperity, as Melius researcher Scott Davis put it. I'm Brooke Sutherland. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says more U.S. schools are likely to begin lifting mask mandates soon as the overall risk from the Omicron wave eases. Gottlieb tells CBS's Face the Nation, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio, a lot of kids haven't really known a normal school day for 2 years now. Australia is reopening to international visitors after 2 years. That ends some of the world's toughest border controls that were introduced to stem the spread of the coronavirus. Tourists and visa holders that have been vaccinated at least twice will be allowed to enter the country. And a home along Florida's Gulf Coast will be auctioned off in the upcoming week as a non-fungible token in what's believed to be among the first such transactions in the U.S. Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, use a version of the encryption technology employed to secure cryptocurrencies to create one-of-a-kind digital objects. The technology provides digital creations, a kind of certificate of authenticity, allowing ownership of something that could otherwise be replicated endlessly. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street, and time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden preparing to meet with Germany's new chancellor as the world waits on Russia's next move on Ukraine. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells ABC's This Week Russia is in the window where it could take military action.
We are ready if President Putin chooses to continue to engage in diplomacy, and we are serious about that, and we are ready to respond in a united, swift, and severe way with our allies and partners should he choose to move forward with a military escalation.
And Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo says sanctions will hurt even if Russia aligns itself more closely with China.
There are critical technologies that Russia is dependent on the United States and our allies on, technologies that Russia, that China does not have access to. Russian elites, who we would cut off from the global financial system, are not putting their money in China. They're putting their money in Europe and in the United States.
Deputy Secretary Adeyemo was on CBS's Face the Nation. Also making news, the Republican National Committee accusing the House January 6th committee of targeting people engaged in legitimate political discourse. Republican Michael McCaul chairs the House Homeland Security Committee.
As I understand it, they're referring to the peaceful protesters when they said that. I do not agree with that statement if it's applying to those who committed criminal offenses and violence to overtake our shrine of democracy.
Congressman McCaul was on ABC's This Week. Republican Senator Marco Rubio went further on CBS's Face the Nation.
This commission is nothing but a partisan tool designed to go out and smear and attack and get their hands on as many people as they can, including people that weren't in Washington on January 6th.
Face the Nation, and this week can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get more now on this Monday morning from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins as we await that news conference and meeting this afternoon, Emily, with President Biden and Germany's new chancellor, Olaf Scholz.
Yes, this is going to be yet another opportunity, both for President Biden to work with his European allies on the issue of Russia and Ukraine, as well as an opportunity for Scholz himself. I mean, he has very big shoes to fill stepping into the position that he is, and he's under some criticism from Germans for not doing enough at this point on Russia as well as in other areas. And so it will be interesting to listen to both of these world leaders during this meeting to see if they have any strong remarks or if they lay out any sort of specific plan when it comes to Russia. We have heard calls for the U.S. and its allies to get more specific as to what sanctions they would be threatening Russia with. At this point, the White House has said they haven't defined those because that's part of their strategy in dealing with Russia at this moment. Nathan, you also mentioned that Biden has spoken with French President Macron. Macron, he's really trying to talk a little bit about de-escalation at this point, trying to see if he can bring tensions down. Biden has spoken with him a few times in the last week, and he, Macron himself, has spoken with Putin. And so that's sort of another interesting player to watch as there continues to be this standoff at the Ukrainian border with Russian troops.
And as the president keeps a focus on geopolitics right now, we're also hearing that he's doing a little more retooling of his economic message.
Yeah, so expect to hear a little bit less about the president's stalled Build Back Better plan, and expect to hear more about Biden touting his wins on the economy. That's growth in wages, growth in union jobs, domestic manufacturing. He got a really great jobs report for him on Friday, especially given that so many people thought that it wasn't going to look good at all. Job growth is one area that the White House is really able to tout, pointing to the current unemployment rates. And this is sort of a strategy that Biden's undertaking as many Americans are suffering with high inflation, with supply chain backlogs. This is Biden really trying to address his economic record and address some of the financial pain that Americans are feeling on a day-to-day basis. And the idea is that Biden thinks this might be a better strategy going forward than to just continue to talk about legislation that at this point does not have a path forward in Congress.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington this morning. And you can read more about all this at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. February is Black History Month, and every day this month we're celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for February 7th, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1926, Negro History Week was observed for the first time. It was the brainchild of noted historian Carter G. Woodson and other prominent African Americans. And over the next few decades, mayors of cities across the United States began issuing yearly proclamations recognizing the week. So by the time the late 1960s rolled in, along with the civil rights movement and a growing awareness of Black identity, Negro History Week had evolved into Black History Month on many college campuses. So President Gerald Ford officially recognized Black History Month in 1976, and since then, every U.S. president has officially designated February as Black History Month. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, futures this morning are moving lower, with S&P futures down about 6 points this morning. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.